Now presenting.
And I'm so sick of people saying that love is just all a woman is fit for. I'm so sick of it.
The Cinema Chicks Podcast.
Maybe I'm one of those people that has always wanted to do it, but it's like a pipe dream.
Totally bug it.
Snap out of it.
Starring Hope Johansson.
I'm not a poet. I'm just a woman.
And Madeline Rancourt.
Yeah, call me Lady Bird like Christine. You said you would.
Hey, I'm Hope.
Hey, I'm Madeline.
And we are the Cinema Chicks.
Hope, I'm so happy to be back for the month of April. This is our second episode of April, and I'm excited because we were on a little hiatus, but we're back.
Yes, we are back and better than ever. Mm-hmm. You know, Oscar season is just so crazy for us that we, you know,
had to take a break
from you know, all the things we're doing. Yeah. Life just gets in the way sometimes, but I have absolutely seen a lot of movies still anyway. What about you?
I have as well. I take that back. Oh. I'm like, yes, I have. But now I'm looking at my litter box and I'm like
wait, maybe not.
Have I? No, I don't know. Like, I have been in a period of my life that my movie going has been a little less frequent than it is usually. Like, usually I'm like at the movies twice a week and I haven't made it to the theaters in a minute, and that makes me very sad, and my AMC stubs very sad. So I'm getting back into the swing of things, and I'm very excited to be. No, I most recently I watched The Pursuit of Happiness, which I hadn't ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you think?
I really liked it. I thought it was really good.
It's a pretty awesome movie.
And it's based on a true story. Yeah, it's a really good movie. I really liked it, and I can't believe I hadn't seen it. I'm glad that I have, because so many people talk about it all the time, and it was just one of those that I never got to, but it's on Netflix. And it was a good time. I rewatched La La Land. I've rewatched Funny Face.
I also watched
Fires in the Mirror, which is Anna Deavere Smith. You know her? She does verbatim theater.
Yeah.
So she had done this verbatim theater piece about the racial conflict in Crown Heights when...
Interesting.
Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she plays 30 characters in it.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's fascinating. It's really well done. I watched it in my verbatim theater class. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I thought it was interesting because I've seen her work before, like filmed theater, but seeing like a film version of it, they were able to do more costumes and more, you know, sets and stuff like that. And I mean, it was the early 90s, so it's not like as elaborate as maybe it would have been done today. But I really enjoyed it. And that was something that I probably otherwise wouldn't have watched. I really like her work, but when I'm sitting down to watch a movie, if I'm not watching like a movie, then it's like a documentary. That's pretty much as far as I usually go. So this, and also probably wouldn't be like, let me watch this from the 90s about something I don't know. but I'm glad that I did. And it was good. What about you?
Oh my gosh. I have been watching a lot lately. Mm-hmm. I saw Cocaine Bear.
How was it?
Which is a wonderful, wholesome family film. Mm-hmm. At the end of it all. So much more slasher than I thought it was gonna be, but it's in the style of camp.
Yes.
You know, it's really amazing. I'm obsessed with Elizabeth Banks. I think she's just phenomenal. And
she doesn't usually direct, does she?
She most of the work she's done recently is directing. Like, she did the new Charlie's Angels.
Oh!
And she directed one other thing in between those two. But yeah, she's an amazing female director. I loved her little bit with Cocaine Bear at the Oscars.
Yes, that was really fun.
Absolutely amazing. And then I spent most of March just catching up on all the...
Oh, she did Pitch Perfect too.
Yes. She's an icon.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I just spent most of March catching up on all of the Oscar-nominated movies besides Avatar and Top Gun, because Love and Light, I don't think a sequel should be nominated for Best Picture. Yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that, and I chose to boycott for personal reasons this year.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, I'm happy that we're back in the swing of things now, and in this little, like, post-award show season lull. There's not like a ton happening at the moment.
Not at all.
Particularly up our alley, but the film we're talking about today, I thought actually might be something we could jive with.
Yeah, no, I thought so too. It's, you know, based around a woman. It is written and directed by a man, Matt Ruskin. So there's that, unfortunately. Another female story written and directed by a man.
Interesting. And
I want to say it shows.
Oh, I think it absolutely shows.
Yeah. Love that. Love that for us.
Love that for poor Keira Knightley.
Yeah. I mean, we should have gotten Elizabeth Banks on this one, but that's
for
fine.
Real. Ugh. Yes, but the movie we were talking about today is Boston Strangler, which is the new feature film on Hulu. And it's starring Keira Knightley, Carrie Coon, Alessandra Nivola, and Chris Cooper.
Yes, Chris Cooper. Oh my gosh, I was like, where do I recognize him from?
Yeah.
But he's in Little Woman.
Yes, he is.
He plays like the neighbor. And it took me a hot second. I was like, why do I recognize his voice so much? But, I've watched Little Woman 20,000 times.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I need to rewatch that. I think I'm like this week, I'm on spring break and I'm just going to like watch all my comfort movies.
Comfort movie time.
Yeah, I need to watch Worst Person in the World. Probably will watch La La Land again. I don't know. Recently watched it, but why not? Little Women for sure. Before Sunrise. You know, I just need to watch all those. But yeah, this movie was... It is what it is.
It's inspired by a true story, which usually I'm always down for a movie like that, even if it's something, a little more on like the kitschy, hokey side.
Yeah.
Like I love a true story film. And this one is pretty awesome about a female reporter in the 60s investigating murders.
Yeah.
How amazing.
I think
it could have been great.
It definitely could have been. It just, I don't know if like murder mysteries like just aren't my thing, or like journalistic stories.
I feel like every time we've talked about a movie that's about like journalism of some kind,
this isn't my movie.
You're like, this one just wasn't for me.
I just feel like it's like an area that's so overdone.
Oversaturated.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Why is every movie about, like, a journalist? Am I wrong? Like, I don't know.
No, you're not wrong. That does...
I mean, not every movie, obviously, but, like...
It's a popular trope.
Yes. And I don't think it's for me. I did appreciate, though, like, this is a very interesting story. It's, you know, a female, and she's looking into these murders in the 1960s, and these women are all, like, strangled from their, like, pantyhose tied in a bow around their neck. And it was fascinating. And there were some nice shots in it that I did enjoy, and some good bird's eye view creepy, and it definitely got that like film noir haunting sort of vibe at moments,
but it wasn't exciting enough.
No, I just wish it was like more stylized. Okay, this sounds so stupid, but like this, but like imagine if like, I don't know, A24 did it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a little more interesting. Like,
well, no,
I just think.
No, it's true. It felt almost a little more like Hallmark Lifetime.
Yes.
Movie kind of vibe, which I think it could have been so much more. And I guess we have to think that, like, I'm comparing it to Hallmark and Lifetime, which are, you know, like cable. Yeah. Made for TV movies, and this was a made for streaming movie, so I guess that's kind of the same ballpark now.
Good one.
Yeah, but there's like, I don't know. I'm very, I hate saying disappointed, but I was expecting a little more, and
also from Keira Knightley. I feel like a lot of people could have done this. And I don't think, like, Keira Knightley would be the person that I would pick to, like, play this, like, Boston woman in the 60s.
No, yeah, she doesn't give Boston.
It didn't, like, the minute she opened her mouth, I was like, I mean, yeah. I don't know, she didn't even really have a Boston accent, but it was more so like, whoa, this is not what Keira Knightley usually sounds like, first of all. And second of all, like, I don't know. I don't know who else would have been this, but let's just keep Keira Knightley in the, like, isn't she an Atonement and Pride and Prejudice? Like, keep her in those. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
well, and then
not trying to pigeonhole the girl, but
right.
This just,
she doesn't have,
didn't give anything.
And I don't think she has, like, the 1960s look about her. I mean, we're staring at the poster of the movie right now, and I was under the impression that this movie took place in, like, the 30s or 40s.
That's what I thought, too. And then when it said the 60s, I was like, what? Like, no, I was very confused, too. I was very confused. It was giving Her Gal Friday.
Yeah.
Like, sort of. And, yeah, it also confused me a lot that this was the 60s. And I hate to say it, but there were, like, also too many men in it.
There were.
Like, I mean. And it was just, like, to the point where, like, none of them were different to me. Like, they were saying their names. True. And I was like, which one is this? Like, it's another old white man. Like, I don't really know. They all have very similar job titles.
No, that's a really good point, actually. Because
I don't know.
Especially if this is not, you know, like, a direct recreation of what happened in history, then we absolutely could have gender bent.
Yeah.
Some of those characters. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe, like, had some, I don't know, literally any diversity or...
Well, and I also think if this would have been written and directed by a woman, like, there was this touching point of her marriage and, like, her kids, and then she goes and sees her brother, and he's kind of like, you know, you can't let this take over your life because it could. And then at the end of the movie, it said that her and her husband ended up getting a divorce. I don't know. I almost wish, like, we could have seen that struggle a little bit more of, like, her being pulled in between these two things, or I don't know. It just didn't give enough in some of those areas that it just wasn't compelling to me. And I think that this really easily could have been, like, really based around a woman trying to solve a mystery for other women and, like, being really tied to it because of that.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't have the answers, but I think that
it was like motive.
Yeah. And also it was funny because at the end of the movie, it mentions her and then, like, the other journalist, Jean, and that, like, they continued to be such good friends. And I was like, they were good friends in this?
No, for real.
Like, I thought they were just coworkers. Like, at the end, they, like, cheers drinks and they're like, we did it, or, like, almost did it or whatever. But I just didn't get the vibe that, like, they were super close. Like, no. To me, it just seemed like we're working on this together, like, work besties. And, like, maybe that is what it was trying to say at the end. But yeah, I think we say this all the time, but there's just a inherent difference when it's the right person telling that story.
Yeah.
And it makes you look at films like Little Women and just capturing the essence of sisterhood and motherhood. And I felt like this was really lacking in those areas. And I feel like maybe if it would have been written by a woman, it could have still been directed by a man. Like, I'll give it that. But, like, yeah, the writing didn't focus where I think we ever saw Loretta's vulnerability.
Yeah.
And
not that she didn't feel human, yeah, but there could have been more meat on her bones.
Well, we kind of, like, rushed into it too, in my opinion, of, like, she wants a story. There's nothing really for her to do. So I'm going to pick this story. And then the guy's like, well, do it outside of the, like, work or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I just, like, didn't see so much of the drive. It almost felt like robotic of, like, yep. It felt like, procedural. Procedural.
Yeah.
Procedural.
And then
in a way, I literally can't speak, but yeah.
No, it did. And there's nothing wrong with a procedural. I mean, hey, you know, Law and Order is going on for so long, but especially taking into consideration that Margot Robbie's Lucky Chap was one of the production companies behind this. Were they not allowed to have any input, or was the script maybe different originally when they signed on for it?
Read it and he heard about this and was like, well, I'm doing this. And because he's a man, probably got what he wanted.
Lame. No rights for men, 2023.
I mean, that's been our slogan all along, but once again, if anybody wants to just see the difference of, like, no, this is why, you know, you have the right people. And this goes beyond gender too. Like, this
truly
is, like, any experience, you know, if we're talking race or LGBTQ+ or, like, anything about, like, identity, like, it needs to be the right people telling that story. And I think that we get into that with actors of, like, well, what's the point of acting? Like, okay, that's different. But
the creative team.
It's the creative team too. It's like you're building this story and it's not a story that you at all can relate to. Like I genuinely cannot imagine like writing or directing anything that like is based on like brotherhood. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Like I would never do that. No, I would never write Goonies. I would never write.
No, there's no way.
Like Stranger Things. Like I don't know. I just wouldn't write these like sort of like band of brothers sort of stories or like a coming of age with a guy. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know where men think that they have the right or the place to do that. It's not that deep, but like it is that deep to me.
I think especially because we've studied this, we've been exposed to the differences, we've been trained to see. And honestly, even if we weren't people who have studied film and theater mm-hmm. and storytelling in general, I think if you compare this to something like Little Women or mm-hmm. some other kind of crime series written by a woman for a woman, you can see a difference. It's mm-hmm. and maybe for people who don't have the trained eyes and ears, there's just like a vibe you can pick up on. And it's, again, I guess at the end of the day, not that deep. It's a fine film. It absolutely could have been more interesting. I feel like the stakes could have been heightened a little more, even though we're dealing with like a serial killer, which seems dramatic enough already. Yeah. It somehow was not serving drama. But hey, that's okay, I think it's a fine film. I hope Keira Knightley had fun filming it because, like, I do love her.
Yeah.
Happy she's working.
I don't know why it kept reminding me of the movie Can You Ever Forgive Me with Melissa McCarthy. Like,
oh, interesting.
It was so different, but that was written and directed not by the same woman, but by women. And another, a man co-wrote it. But that was one that, like, I felt that's different because, like, we're following the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really successful sort of crime film
yeah.
that I really enjoyed. And yep. I felt like we were able to understand why she was doing this. And I get it, it's different. But I feel like it should be even easier to understand why she's so intrigued by these stories other than trying to, you know, obviously solve this murder. But it just felt very, like, baseline, I guess. Yep. I just wanted
surface
it.
Level.
Yes, yes. And I wanted it to go deeper. And that's not to say it was, like, absolutely terrible.
No.
But I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. And I just think that there was potential there with a different writer, director. And I don't know who I would recast this as, but I think that there weren't really, like, shining moments for Keira. And
no, I mean, honestly, like, I don't even think it needed to be a name, unless
yeah.
having a name tied
yeah,
to
exactly.
it was the only way it got made.
Well,
you know?
probably. And I
think it would have been more effective if it wasn't
right.
someone we knew so well.
Right, right. Yeah, agreed. And on that note, that's a wrap.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed, you can rate and review us on your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Cinema Chicks and on TikTok at Cinema Chicks.
And if you want to be friends, you can follow me on Instagram at Madeline Daisy Rancourt and on Letterboxd at Madeline Daisy.
Or you can follow me on Instagram at Hope Johansson and on Letterboxd at H Joha.
And before we end today, we'd like to thank our sponsors.
Male creative teams for serving mid once again.
Period films that don't feel like they're in that period.
And Death by Pantyhose. Thanks for listening.
I'm so glad we had that talk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.